Getting to spend some time together like this is actually pretty cool for me. So I know it's not what we intended, but I also believe that God has other reasons for things that happen that seem like accidents or coincidental things in our lives. And so maybe you're here this morning and there's something God wants to share with you. And so I would just pay attention to that. I would be on the lookout for what God is whispering to your heart through his word this morning. So we're going to look at a lot of scripture this morning. So if you would open your Bibles to Judges chapter 6. Judges is pretty close to the beginning of the Bible. Judges chapter 6. So some of you who are familiar with the Bible and its kind of arcing story are familiar with the children of Israel, okay? The children of God. They had this habit of following God, okay, watching him do amazing things, telling the stories of God to their children and their neighbors and their friends and their family for a period of time, and then slowly drifting away and picking up other gods and pulling them into the fold, and then eventually turning their backs on God and ignoring him completely. And usually what happened is neighboring nations would come in, try to overthrow Israel, and we kind of hear the same thing from Israel over and over and over. If God is with us, why do these terrible things keep happening? So let's start in chapter 6 here. The people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord gave them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. And the hand of Midian overpowered Israel, and because of Midian, the people of Israel made for themselves the dens that are in the mountains, and the caves, and the strongholds. For whenever the Israelites planted crops, the Midianites and the Amalekites and the people of the east would come up against them. They would encamp against them and devour the produce of the land as far as Gaza, and leave no sustenance in Israel, and no sheep or ox or donkey. For they would come up with their livestock and their tents. They would come like locusts in number. Both they and their camels would not be counted, could not be counted, so that they laid waste to the land as they came in. And Israel was brought very low because of Midian. And the people of Israel cried out for help to the Lord. And when the people of Israel cried out to the Lord on account of the Midianites, the Lord sent a prophet to the people of Israel. Now, a prophet's job was really simple. A prophet was to listen to God and do what? Tell the people. Okay? This is what I heard from God. And he said to them, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I led you up from Egypt and brought you out of the house of slavery. And I delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians and from the hand of all who oppressed you and drove them out before you and gave you their land. And I said to you, I am the Lord your God. You shall not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice." And there it is. The Israelites were in a place where stuff was going very poorly for them. It began to feel like God had turned his back on them, and they cried out to God. "Where are you? Why is this happening to us? Will you deliver us again?" And God said, "You've stopped listening to me. You've done what is good in your own sight, and you have stopped." And here's the word, and this is a word that is hard for some people to hear. "You stopped obeying me. You have stopped obeying me." And here's, we can make this really simple. When God asks us to do something, when he specifically asked the Israelites or told the Israelites to do something and they didn't do it, what's another word for that? Disobedience, yes. How about another word? Let's use the shortest word we can think of. Sin. It was sin. Now, here's the thing. In student ministry, one of the questions we get asked over and over and over and over is, how do I hear from God? Okay. I've asked that question. How do I hear from God? If you're a community group leader in this room, you've probably been asked that question. How do I turn the volume up on God's voice? How do I know it's God? How can I hear from God? And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. I think the most powerful way that you can restore, we'll call it the connection, the communication connection between you and God, is to turn away from your disobedience to God and be obedient. So what kind of feelings does it raise in you when I say the word obedience? Anyone? Rule follower. Yeah. Work. What else? Respect. Okay. Any others? Tired? Afraid? Faithful? Has God ever asked you to do something? Raise your hand if you've ever been asked by God to do something. Okay? Well, let's just be really clear. If you're a believer in this room, you've been asked by God to do something. It's really hard to get into the Word of God and not recognize that God is asking you to do things. But maybe you can think of something specific right now that God has asked you to do and you were afraid to do it. Do you have something like that? So I'm part of a group of guys who meet once a month, okay, youth workers from other places in the country and a guy from an organization called Sun Life. And the way we wrap up our meetings is Doug Holliday asks each of us, who will you share the Word of God with between now and the next time we meet? Who will you share the Word of God with, the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, between now and the next time we meet? And at our first meeting, okay, I thought, well, I get to do that every Sunday, right? And God said, the college guys up the street from you. So we live in the neighborhood, and up the street on the corner, okay, there's a group of four or five guys. I don't know them. I've never met them. I assume they're college guys because they stay up all night playing video games. I can tell by the lights. Okay? There's always four or five cars parked on the street, which really annoys me. Okay? They don't have curtains. They kind of have like sheets. And so it sounds like college guys, right? That's my assumption. I heard very clearly or felt very distinctly that the answer to that question for me was the college guys up the street. Okay? And I knew I had a month with which to do that. By the way, I'm in the middle of that month right now. And so I said, Doug, I'm going to share with the college guys up the street. He's like, man, that's great. I was like, I don't know what that looks like yet, but I'm going to pray about it and I'm going to figure it out. Okay? And I'll tell you straight up, I haven't done that yet. And God says, hey, Paul, I'm pretty clear. You know, that was me telling you who to share with. And I'm like, yeah. And I'll do it. I've just got to figure out how to do it. Okay. I got to figure out what to say to these guys. Do I like bring them video games or cookies? Okay. Do I offer to mow their yard? What do I do? How do I interact with another human being? Okay? And really what it comes down to is I'm a little nervous. I'm kind of afraid. I don't want to look stupid. Okay? I don't want to be the guy who goes up and knocks on their door and doesn't have anything to say. I don't want to be the guy who goes up there and says, hey, you know, I'm Paul. I live down the street. And for them to stand there and go, okay, we didn't invite you over here. Why are you talking to me? Okay, that's like a big fear. For some of you who love other people, that'd be really easy for you. Okay? For me, it seems daunting and challenging. and I'm not sure what I'm going to do. You ever been afraid to obey God? Well, here's what I can tell you 100% for sure, is that the longer I go without obeying God and what he's asking me to do, the more the volume on God's voice gets turned down. The further away from God I can start to feel, and this is what I've learned over life, and I think this is what the people of Israel learned over and over and over. So check this out. That's where Israel is right now. Let's look at verse 11. This is the, for some of you, the best story in the Bible that you've never heard. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth, it's a tree, at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash, the Abizrite, while his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. So when you beat wheat, do you know where you typically would do that when you're threshing it? Okay, you would do it on a hill, the windiest place possible, so that when you beat it and beat it and beat it and then toss it up in the air, the chaff or the husks or whatever it is gets blown away. Okay, and where did it say he was doing it? He was doing it in a wine press because he was afraid of the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor." How many of you guys would want to hear that from God? The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor. And so we start to get a picture of Gideon, right? Maybe he's a little bit like Arnold Schwarzenegger, okay? Or Rocky, or, you know, fill in the blank, whatever it is. And Gideon said to him, "Please, sir, if the Lord is with us, why then has all of this bad stuff happened to us? And where are all his wonderful deeds that our fathers recounted to us, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and given us into the hand of Midian." And the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Do not I send you?" So you actually might be getting the wrong picture of Gideon here. It sounds like God has chosen this mighty man to go do this thing that he has for somebody to do. That's not exactly the case. And he said to him, "Please, Lord, how can I save Israel? Behold, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the runt of the litter." That's who Gideon is. This is who Gideon saw himself as. "God, you're asking me to do something that I can't possibly do because of what I know to be true about myself. I'm a runt from a runty family." And the Lord said to him, "But I will be with you." So there's a couple things I want you to look at here, okay? Did you catch that when Gideon asked the question, "God, if you're with us, why is all this bad stuff happening?" What was the information that God gave Gideon? What was the answer that God gave Gideon? Did he say, "Gideon, that's a great question. Let me tell you why it feels like I'm not with you. Let me tell you what I've been doing." No, he didn't do that at all. He actually had a statement for Gideon. What was it? "Go do this thing that I'm commanding you to do." "Why are you so far away, God? Obey me." "Why does it feel like you're not with us anymore? Go and do this thing that I'm telling you to do." "I'm not strong enough." And God's answer was, "I'm sending you and I will be with you." God says, but I'll be with you, and you shall strike the Midianites as one man. And he said to him, if now I have found favor in your eyes, then show me a sign that it's you who speak with me. And so they go through this whole rigmarole, and God graces him with a sign. And Gideon finally goes, okay, I know it's you. And now I'm in big trouble because I've looked upon you. And God's like, no, you're okay. Just go do the thing. And the thing was this. God said, first, I want you to take two bulls, and I want you to go to the pagan temple, and I want you to pull it down. And with the splintered wood, I want you to set up a burnt sacrifice of one of your bulls to me in the place where people used to worship false gods. And so midnight one night, Gideon goes and he does that. He pulls it down. He burns the offering to the Lord in the place where the Asherah pole used to be. And in the next morning, everybody wakes up and goes, who did this? And here's what happens. God has a next thing for Gideon. And a next thing. And the more Gideon obeys God, the bolder he becomes in his obedience, and the louder the voice of God seems to go. And he doesn't have a question anymore about why this stuff is happening if you're with us. So where does that leave us? I can tell you where it leaves me. God says, Paul, go. And he's not asking me to pull the dude's house down and burn a bull. Okay? He's asking me to knock on the door and introduce myself and look for an opportunity to share the gospel with people who need it. And I say, okay, God, wait. Let me come up with a great plan. And I say, okay, God, I'm a little bit afraid right now. Maybe you can give me an easy out or a sign. And God's going, just go. I'm the one sending you. I will be with you. If I ask you to do it, you can do it. I will go with you. So here's where I want your mind to go, and I hope it's already been going there. What's God asking you to do? What is the one place in your life, and maybe there's more than one place, where you've turned the volume of God down because of disobedience, where you're saying, this is an area where God is speaking to me and saying, do this or don't do this, and I'm not being obedient. There's really great news in that. If God's asking you to do something, you can't fail. I can't tell you what the outcome will be. I can tell you, you can't fail. Boldly obey God in what he is telling you to do. When I'm disobeying God, and I stop disobeying, and I turn around back to him and say, I'm going to obey you, you know what that's called? Yeah, with sorrow in my heart because I realize I haven't been obedient to God, and I turn away from that and turn back to him. That's called repentance. And here's the thing is we've all got sin issue. And that's something for some reason we don't talk a lot about. That's the place God wants to start. So this morning, bow your head, close your eye. Is it in case we have a pirate in the room? I don't know. And ask God to show you the place where you need to be obedient. And guys, I don't care who you are. I know your stories. I know some of you are too cool to be in this room. I know some of you have already given up on God and Christianity because it doesn't match the life you want to live. I'm here to tell you, you're wrong. God is speaking to you this morning. Listen. You have never gone too far to turn around. God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that you are a God who talks to us. We thank you for your word. And this morning, I thank you for the kid in this room that you're talking to right now. I thank you for the words that you're whispering to him. I love you. And because I love you, I don't want you to keep walking down that path. I want you to walk the way that leads to life. So, Lord, I pray for courage. I pray for the courage that only your Holy Spirit can give us. Help us to be obedient to you. Help us to count the cost, to know that when we are obedient to you, it may cost us something, but the thing it costs us pales in comparison to what we gain, God. So I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.